Hey, welcome back to the How to Get an Analytics Job podcast. Today we have a great guest, Chris French, who actually just got into the analytics field not too long ago. So, Chris, welcome. Thank you for coming on. How are you doing?
I appreciate it, Hunter. Doing pretty great. Obviously, honored and privileged to be on your show for tonight.
I appreciate. I'm happy to have you on. So you just transitioned in about a month ago, right, into the analytics field?
So, yes, it just actually happened about a few days ago, actually, kind of when it all started. It happened fairly quick, I would say, in my case. But, yeah, just went through the process from teaching to analytics not that long ago.
Well, so what do you think helped expedite that process if it went pretty quickly getting into there?
I would say, I wish I had the exact, let's say, answer to that problem, you know, because I feel like that's the common question on how did the process go the way it went. I would say, in my case, I think what it comes down to most is honestly meeting the right person at the right time. Timing played a huge factor into it. I had interviews in the past, not a ton, just a handful. But like I said, I felt that through the interview process, I knew that when I got to that second round interview and I actually could talk to that hiring manager, I was very confident in my teacher skills, like how I just talked to people, even my previous job before teaching, I just felt that all those soft skills really helped me along through the interview process. So I just really think it comes down to, for me, was timing and just the ability to, you know, show my personality and how I am as a person to the hiring manager when I got the chance.
So did you meet this hiring manager in your network? Is that how you met this person? Or
so through this, it's kind of like a little different. Went a little bit different than some of the other incidences I had. So for this one, I applied just regularly on the company website. I found a recruiter. It's a Fortune 500 company, pretty large. So I had to kind of go through LinkedIn and make sure I found a recruiter for the more technical side of the company. Sent him a message. Kind of left it like open-ended, trying to get like just a response from him. I got an email the next morning at around 8:15 in the morning. It was kind of an automated rejection email, so I kind of really didn't think anything about it. I noticed then I went back to the message at like around 8:30, 8:45, and I saw he viewed my message. And then 15 minutes later, I get an email from the company recruiter saying they want to move on to the next round. So it was kind of like a little, even though I didn't get a response from the person, I clearly saw he saw it. And if I had to assume at that point, he saw like, wait a second, you know, maybe I see something that the system didn't see. And you know what, actually, like he pushed off to the right person. So it kind of, for, you know, it's tough. You reach out to these recruiters, you sometimes don't get a response, or, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen. But in this case, I didn't get a response, but I know for a fact that he went behind the scenes and, you know, helped push my application forward. So it was very unique, I felt. But just goes to show that a little extra effort into your application goes a long way.
So I happen to notice the company LPL Financial. Mm-hmm. Do you have, as a math teacher, I mean, I guess we're already work with numbers quite a bit. So as far mm-hmm. as financial experience is concerned, probably weighs in a little bit there.
Yeah, definitely. Having the math degree did help, and they brought up right away. Kind of say, oh, you have a bachelor's in math, which, I mean, I only got it last year. I'm 27. I went to school a little bit later in my, you know, professional career, but that definitely helped. But also before teaching, I did work in a sports facility running like the operations behind. I did a little bit hands-on work, a little bit of administrative work. So I did use, you know, just kind of basic Excel, nothing too crazy, but doing analysis of our revenue, our sales through our camps or clinics. So it was a lot of analysis work that I didn't realize that I was already doing. And then going into school, kind of incorporating the, you know, taking my students' standardized test scores. Like, okay, well, I have five classes. I want to see how each of my seventh grade classes are doing. I want to know, you know, one class might be really, you know, great at doing a certain aspect, so I don't have to waste too much time with them. But I saw one class has issues doing pre-algebra or you know, some with graphs. So it gave me a little bit way of understanding, like, yeah, I might not be a data analyst in my job title, but I'm doing all those traits on my own without me even realizing it. So I think it made it very I won't say the word easy, but not that stressful when I talked to people, because I felt confident in what I was saying and what I was doing in my daily career, should say.
You know, just last week we were talking with Ashutosh, and he was mentioning the value of creating something and something that you're passionate about. And it sounds like to me that you got into the analytics work from other things that you were passionate about, other jobs, stuff that you learned in school. And, you know, I guess that does play in a lot for you, huh?
Oh, definitely. I think also as well, I mean, it played in a role for when it came to the projects. I mean, the projects, I was having a little hard time beginning because I got the concept down. You know, you're trying to find a data set that you're, you know, try to find out a problem. You're trying to solve a problem at the end of it. You're trying to find something out. And I started doing a few, but I didn't feel that connected to any of it. And I felt that if I put down my resume and they ask me questions about it, it's not going to sound like I'm too enthused about it. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel like I want to do something I was proud of or I was connected with. So I've done a few with even using my students' standardized test scores, finding a way to using SQL with it, finding a way, kind of looking at previous scores from the past 10, 15 years, kind of seeing how kids have been doing and how they're doing now, which taught me a lot, especially when students went through in 2020 with COVID, seeing how the forecast was looking for future scores. But then also in general, I have a joy in flying airplanes. So I did a project based on airplanes within the United States. And I found so much information through that I didn't think I was ever going to. But I think it happened because I was so intrigued by it. I was so interested. And that literally came up in the job I got. He didn't ask me a ton of questions, actually. But the main one was, pick a project, tell me why you did it, and what'd you find? And I was able to explain it, and I felt I explained it perfectly fine. And because I felt, like I said, I was very into it. I was intrigued. I loved every part of it. And it came off just by way of speaking. And I think from there, he's like, okay, he must be confident in what he's doing. So, yeah, I really think when it comes to using those projects, you have to be somewhat interested. You can't just do a random project and think, oh, here it is. You can, but it's not going to show off well when you have to present it to people. So I think that's a really great point brought up.
Right. And so, you know, we always come back to this idea of, you know, storytelling through data. And it's like, who better to tell the story of data than data that you're personally invested in yourself?
100%. You know? Yep.
It's very easy to talk about that. So you also mentioned, you know, picking up, you know, these different tools using your project, right? Is that something that you learned before going into the job process? Or is that something that once you locked down the job, you wanted to go back and really bang out and figure out what tools you need for your job?
So when I started this journey, I started it in September 10th is exactly when I started my Google course. I felt through that. I went to Western Governors University, which is a self-paced college. So it felt really, for me, when I did a Google course, I felt like, okay, like this is all self-paced. Like I can see what's necessary and see what's not. And as I kind of went through it, I really enjoyed SQL. Like my brain liked it. It just liked the way it flowed. It just made sense. In the beginning was hard, like, cause I'm not very technical at all. I'm not very technical. In school, I'm very pen and pencil paper. You know, I just like to take it easy with that. So learning SQL was cool, but I enjoyed it. Tableau was, I loved it. I love Tableau too. I think it's got a mix of a little, almost like pivot tables with Excel. Kind of, if you like, I was able to do pivot tables before. So I'm like, oh, it's kind of similar in that aspect, but just way more tools for you. Like way, way more tools. So I found it to be super awesome, like super creative. And then I got to the R section where I was truthful. I'm like, if this is what if I really need to learn it for a job, like I will, but I'm only going to focus on SQL and Tableau. Like I already knew Excel. So I kind of was like SQL and Tableau. I want to be the best entry level analyst. I'm not going to try to learn anything beyond joins. I'm not going to do anything too much with Tableau. I just want to show, hey, I could do entry level work right now. If you give me this opportunity, I can learn way, way, way more. And I think that was kind of the point I was trying to show. Like, I'm not trying to cram in Python. I'm not trying to do R. I'm not trying to do any of that right now. And I think my plan is, yes, now I have my job set up. I do want to learn something like Python on the side now, because I know in some time when I want to make that eventual jump to my next role, that having a tool like Python or R would be a huge asset. But to get into this job, I was only asked SQL questions, really. And it was relatively, in my opinion, on the more basic side for what I was asked. So I felt like, you know, and it's hard because I didn't know, being a self-learner, there's so many opinions out there on, people go through so many different types of interviews, so you never know really what to expect. But I trusted myself. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be the best SQL or Tableau person I could be. And if there's a job that has, hey, we need Python, be like, hey, I'm sorry, I don't know how to do it. But, you know, I can learn. So it's like, I kind of like didn't want to please everybody. I want to be, hey, I want to be the best at this. And I'm going to find a job that could fit me for that right now.
You know, there's so many opportunities out there at the moment that are just listing, you need 6 years of experience and mm-hmm. you need this, you need that. And oftentimes I don't find that to be the case at all. You know, we've had many students come through the Silvertone course who end up getting a job and they've never worked in analytics before ever. Mm-hmm. And all we teach in our course is Power BI, Tableau and Excel and mm-hmm. the applications for it. 90% of I think all of those opportunities that consist of, you know, they're like small and medium sized businesses. Mm-hmm. They only require those basic functions that you're talking about.
Yeah. No, and it's 100% true. I mean, I've never been asked anything about Python or R or anything like that. And like I said, if they did, it would become mutually, hey, I'm probably just not the best fit and it's okay. Like I probably, you know, like maybe right now I'm not the best fit and that's fine. But the more and more I'm looking, and even like the job I got, it said I needed 4+ years. I don't in the 4+ in the financial industry. I'm like, I've never, like, I've done work in my previous job, but nothing like anything too crazy. So it's like, I feel it's more, if you can show you can do the work and you just have a great personality, you just get along, like they could teach you anything. You know, if they know that you are teachable, and you know, me being a teacher, I played baseball my whole life. Like I'm used to having to be taught. You know, and I'm always will listen. So I feel like if you have that approach, people will see past the 1 or 2 years experience, if you even have that. I just feel it goes a long way of being a great person along with being, you know, teachable at the end of the day.
Right. By the way, what's your favorite baseball team? I have to ask.
If you're baseball. Okay. So my family's from the Bronx in New York City. So it's the Yankees. They're not been good for a very long time. Let's just say that. They keep getting the playoffs, but they can't get past the first two rounds, and it's killing me here, but yeah.
Listen, I hate to break it to you, but I don't think I could ever be a Yankees fan. I think you have to be a certain breed to be a Yankees fan. Anyway, side tangent aside. So you talked about, you know, when you were talking about your process, it sounded mm-hmm. like to me that you were very focused on like kind of taking things one step at a time kind of deal. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people sometimes try to get into maybe more than one step at once. How did you mm-hmm. figure out what you needed to focus on? Is that just, you just decided that yourself, or somebody told you what you need to focus on? Or
I mean, that was me for the first month, like dabbing my toes into anything. I'm like, I started doing a little SQL, little Tableau, a little bit of everything. And I'm like, I also, it's hard because like, I'm not trying to make an excuse, but I know other professions have it tough too, but as a teacher, when I'm done with my day, I'm mentally just, I don't want to do anything, any additional work, should I say. So I found it really difficult to get that finalized, but really it came down to, I think my first interview I had, which went bad. Like I did bad. I know I did bad. And that's me just learning how to interview in a corporate setting. You know, I'm not used to being through this process. And the way they asked the question, they asked about my SQL knowledge and Tableau, and just by the way I answered it and I remember it, it sounded like I didn't know what I was talking about. And I'm like, okay, so in that interview, they really wanted to make sure I knew SQL. And then for Tableau, they wanted to know a couple different aspects. So I'm like, okay, SQL seems to be the main one I need to do. Like SQL needs to be the main one. And it's kind of like out of my comfort zone, being like kind of like you're coding in a way. So I'm like, you know what? I need to learn that. like I can learn Tableau after, but SQL seems to be the main part of, you know, like the course, should I say. So I really put a ton of effort into SQL. I downloaded multiple apps to try to expand my learning, kind of doing some like a data camp that comes more just like take an easy little step by step. I did a couple where they were kind of gave like interview questions. So I kind of felt like, okay, this is going to kind of prepare me, which it didn't. It's nothing. What I went through was none of those questions were anywhere near what I was asked on a easier note, but I really felt SQL is what I really wanted to get down. Cause I just felt that it seemed to be the most, and especially me, I want to try to get into the financial industry. That financial seems to be a lot of SQL, a lot. So I put a huge focus on that. But it took me a while to kind of figure it out because you have so many, the problem with having so many, should I say, courses out there, are so many different, there's so many opinions.
Yeah. Well, how did you find the right ones for you?
I tried to do this because I was lucky enough that I have, even though teaching has pretty the more cons than the pros recently, I still had a salary coming in, right? So I had the ability to figure things out on a, you know, I didn't have to rush, should I say. So I kind of was like, okay, but I also didn't want to spend a lot of money either. Just, I didn't have the money. I just finished my bachelor last year. I couldn't go into more debt, should I say. Mm-hmm. So I was looking around and DataCamp seemed to be like something that jumped out. It just seemed to be a more popular website and had a deal for like $1 for the first month. So I'm like, okay, let's see how this goes. So did that. I felt that was really great because I'm very hands-on. I like kind of like trial and error. Like, let me try it. And then from there, I'm like, okay, I am really good at this. I can move on. Or joins. I'm like, wait a second. Hold on. I need to watch a video real quick. You know what I mean? So I kind of like to go and see what works, what doesn't. I did DataCamp. What was the one? There's one website. Strata Scratch. I can't remember. I forget the exact name, but it's that website I love because I also like finding websites that also could help me give the solution sometimes. Like I would not always go right to it, but I would give it like, hey, if I can't figure it out, I'll come back to it a couple more times. And if I can't, let me just look at the answer right away. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Or wait, that doesn't make sense. Let me go watch a YouTube video and see how that can make more sense. So I kind of would just go on any site that can give me any kind of query practice or anything. And there's so many websites out there for SQL. Like I feel there's so much out there for SQL, which I enjoyed. So there's nothing wrong with any site you choose or any course, but for me, I'm hands-on. So I needed something that wasn't so video-based. I needed to just do the work right away or have something side-by-side to learn.
Yeah. So the learning process is different for everybody. You know, it's just a matter of finding which one works for you. And there's so many choices out there. It's almost impossible to not be able to teach yourself something. Mm-hmm. You know, the importance of teaching yourself in data analytics. Let's talk about that for a second. How important is being, you know, a lifelong learner? It's the buzzword, lifelong.
I mean, that's also why I got into this field, because I feel like that it fits me as a person, you know? Like, I like to, I've always had to do, especially being a teacher. Like I said, you can run into so many situations where, like even like last year, like, yes, I was a math teacher for a little bit, but for about a month, I had to teach like eighth grade language arts. And I'm not good at it. I'm not good whatsoever. So I had to quickly like, okay, how am I going to be able to learn this and be able to teach this to the kids in the next 30 minutes? So right. You kind of learn strategies on how to take in information, what's necessary, what's not. I think that's the big one right there is knowing what you need and what you just don't need right away. I think that kind of what got me with that Google course was I liked parts of it, but there are parts of it that I didn't need right away. So instead of sitting there doing every single step, every single thing, I was able to be like, you know what? I don't need to do, you know, all of this right this second. So I think just being with self-learning comes with practice of being disciplined, knowing, you have to stay on schedule. You can't slack off. But I think my experience at Western Governors was a huge example. I got my bachelor's in about 2 years because I was able to forecast ahead of time, hey, I need these courses done by this date so I can move on to my next term. So it kind of gives you the ability to learn deadlines. Like I said, just keeps you in line. So self-learning is, cheaper, but it could really, if you're not disciplined and you're not organized, your head's going to go crazy with all the different things out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So interesting enough, I know that, well, we've got Jeremy and Matt sitting down here. So Jeremy and Matt, I'm going to bring you guys in. I know Jeremy, you're actually a math professor as well, aren't you?
No, I'm actually a social studies teacher.
Oh man, my bad. Oh, I thought I could have sworn you were a math teacher, but teacher nonetheless. I was right about teacher. That. So I'm sure you have a shared struggle here with Chris.
Absolutely. Teaching, as Chris said, is very challenging, also rewarding. That you leave work mentally exhausted every day, so therefore you have to find time to hone in those skills that you want to learn for your data analysis career that you're trying to get into. So therefore it takes a lot of time and patience just to process the day and make sure you're able to sit down and set aside time to do the Google courses or the apprenticeship like I'm in for Silverton Analytics or anything else you're going to do.
Yeah, so time management is important as well. Chris, did you ever struggle with time management?
Oh, every day. Literally every single day. And I still do. And that's something I try to work on as well, knowing that, especially for me. I mean, I know with my situation, I'm in a inner city school, got a ton of, understaffing, which definitely, every day is different. You can walk in some days and all classes go well, kids are transitioning fine, and your day flows like fine, lesson plans go great. Some days, it's like, kids don't go to gym, so now they have to sit in your room all day, or your lunch got cut in half because they were messing around downstairs in the lunchroom and now they got to sit with you. So it's like, it's hard in that way to manage time because you just don't know what's going to happen almost every day. So I think that's why I'm also looking to move into this different field, because I want to be able to know how to actually manage my day, have the ability to, if there's meetings, like, okay, in this time, what could I do? Because as a teacher, I know other professions have it hard as well, but there's no consistency in anything with teaching. The word consistency does not come into play as a teacher.
You know what I'm realizing here is we actually have four teachers sitting in a call together at the moment. And that's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. Round of applause for all of us. I'm sure, is any of this resounding with you, Matt or Jeremy?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, teaching, like, you have contract hours, like maybe from my contract hours were like 8:50 to 4:20 on Monday to Friday, but the job doesn't stop at 4:20. I still got to make sure I'm planned for next day, making sure that I grade the papers and responding to emails. And sometimes I get that done with my contract hours, and other times I got to take it home. So every day is different, or every week's different. Some days are better than other ones. So it just depends on what's going on.
Right, right. Did you guys have any questions for Chris before we continue, or?
You want
cool.
To? I can answer. What was your first steps? Like, where did you start off, like, in terms of learning? You're like teaching yourself. Where did you start off with?
So I started off with the Google Analytics course, just because it seemed to be when I was trying to. What really started it, though, like the thought, should I say, even was, actually, I gotta give credit to my fiance, because she's been doing a little software development, and I'm like, I kind of want to try that out. And as I was doing it, I was like, I don't mind it, but I can't see myself doing that as my career. So then she literally said, well, what about something in data? And I'm like, I can't go back to school. Like, I can't do another 4 years in school. I can't do anything like that. So it took me, I just did a little research, and I saw the Google Analytics course, and I'm like, okay, it's $39 a month. When I get it done, I'm done. I don't have to keep paying, I don't have to pay, I kind of see how it goes, right? I can start off. If I like it, I'll keep going. If not, no harm, no foul. I'll just, maybe it's not for me. I found that, like I said, the course, as I was saying to Hunter before, the course, I liked parts of it. Just that I did have a little bit of business experience before. So the first like 3 or 4 parts were, just kind of like a walk in the park a little bit for me, just because like the terms it's like almost like a vocab test, almost kind of like you're just kind of learning these different terms. But I really enjoyed SQL and Tableau. When I got to those two parts, I'm like, I actually like this. Like, I like it, and the work I was doing felt fulfilling, almost like teaching. Every once in a while, you get those days of teaching that teaching's not that bad. Every once in a while, but when I did the work, when I did this work, I'm like, I feel like I could do this as a career. Like, I really feel like everything, like, I've done the past through my business experience and just the math abilities, I feel like I could do this. And after that course, after I finished it, is kind of where I went off into working on the skills I was in that course more hands-on. So in my case, and that's why, try to tell anyone if they're interested, at least try the course, try to see how it is. You don't have to love it, but just try it out. See how it is, and if you like what you see, then okay, you don't have to, that doesn't be it, what you do forever, but if you want to join like an apprenticeship or something like that, you go from there. But the course is great for you to just try it out. 7-day trial, it's great to see if you like it. I think I'd tell everyone to do that.
Speaking of apprentices, Silvertone Analytics course.
I started the Google Analytics too. And that's where I started. And that's before I even stumbled on the Silvertone stuff. I was trying to do both of them concurrently, and that wasn't working out too much because there's too much time. Similar to what y'all were saying, I finding 30 minutes to do a lesson for me is a hassle. Just trying to teach, trying to do your actual day job and try to do this. So I've just been focusing on Silvertone right now just because it's more important and costly than Google, but hopefully it'll be worth it. I got into the Silvertone because I figured that real world experience would help me more. I'm very hands-on like you, working with actual data from actual companies and stuff like that would be better than just theoretical stuff. So that's why I got into it. I took a little different path, but I did start in the Google as well. I'm at the very beginning. I just decided to switch about a month ago. So I'm brand new to all analytics and everything. So I'm still kind of weaving my way through stuff. Where you were in September, I guess, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I think your point's really good because, like I said, the what the Google course taught me mainly was just that I could do the work. I felt more of a confidence and actual, like, intellectual gain, should I say? And it's true. Like, I didn't do the capstone project in Google because I felt I want to do work that actually is meaningful, something different, something actually real, should I say. But I did appreciate just it actually helping me out, especially from a, in my situation, a cost standpoint. The feeling of if I like it, I'll keep going. If not, we'll go from there. And I know it did not. It did not get brought up in any of my interviews or anything like that. Because I just feel like it's lost its, it's credible, but it's been around now for almost 2 years. So I feel like a lot of people have it. It's almost just like the, check mark as your, hey, you started the first step kind of thing. Yeah. But I think that's always a great thing to at least try it out and see how it goes.
Yeah, it's a good kickstart to it at least. Can you describe your first project? How it felt, doing your first major project and working through it, and where do you get your data, your data sets from? Because that's something I'm struggling with now.
I wish I could get a little more in depth with the project just because my process went so fast. Like, I was going to do more, but like I said, though, I have about 3 projects done. I truly, though, am passionate about one of them. And like I said, as I said to Hunter before, like, I felt when it came to doing the project is you're so tempted to want to just finish it and just be done with it, throw it on the resume so you could just start applying and stuff like that. But I decided, like, you know what, I'm gonna give myself a couple days to just plan this whole thing out, because the project part to me did not take long, but I wanted to make sure I'm having the right mindset going into it. Cause I remember right before I did it, I was doing a project based on Walmart sales data, and an hour in I just turned my computer off. I'm like, I can't do this. Like, this is not clicking for me right now. So I knew I need to go in with a positive mindset and actually feel connected to the data. I use Kaggle. I feel like Kaggle could be a little hit and miss with some of the data sets. Just some of them could be a little outdated, even a little bit. So you got to do a little digging through it.
Also, sometimes they can be a little bit too clean as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's the thing, too. It's I've seen that, too, where it's like, okay, like what I'm doing, it's just I can do a couple queries and I'm done. Like there's not much work that can be done with it. But like I said, using Kaggle, I found, like I said, I have huge interest in airplanes. And I, living near New York with the Miracle on the Hudson in 2009, I did a little more insights to be like, okay, look, that incident was really, to me, I thought was unique, but I feel like that happens much more than what we think we see. So I kind of did a little more in-depth. I'm like, wait a second, like there's a lot of interesting information in this. So because I kept seeing more and more, I kept digging more and more and more. And then when I put together my dashboard, I'm like, I can answer so many different questions, right? There's so many main questions I can answer. And then because I have all that effort, you know, like I said, the amount of work I did to find that data wasn't anything too crazy. It was just basic SQL, nothing really too crazy. But because I was so intrigued by everything, I was able to present it to my interviews with ease. You know, I wasn't like, hey, here's my dashboard of the pizza sales. Like, no, this is like actual real data that actually I can make I found a problem and this is how we can solve it. So it really puts in perspective that's what, and I had to learn that too, of what do businesses actually want to see in these projects. You know, like it's making it is not really the hardest part. It's the purpose and why are you actually doing these steps? Like what are we doing? What's the problem? How are we gonna solve it? That's actually what you're gonna do at the end of the day. So I felt like actually taking the time to go through that process and actually do what businesses want to see really helped me, if I had to say, helped me in that interview process for sure.
I got you. I guess you have a background in business a little bit, so you knew it. Mm-hmm. But me, I went to school to be a teacher. That's all I've known. My college mm-hmm. education is in PE. I'm a PE teacher, mm-hmm. so I don't have the math background you have either. So, but in terms of like verbiage and words used mm-hmm. and stuff for other teachers that might be coming into the business world, mm-hmm. like hard skills and soft skills, that's not a phrase you use in teaching much.
Mm-hmm.
So like the soft skills you're talking about, what are the soft skills that translate from teaching into
I mean,
just in case a teacher watches this in the future.
Yeah. That's an awesome question. That's really great because I feel deep down. Yeah. I teach math. But you know what I started also last year for the first month? I was a PE teacher for the first month last year in school. So it's a math teacher, but I've done a few different roles in my time at the school because we were so understaffed. So I feel like, yes, if you have like a math degree or statistics, that helps a little bit because of just the nature we're getting into. But just in general, being a teacher, I mean, just by the way, I feel like teachers speak really well. We communicate well, we work well together. We like to think sometimes a little bit outside the box. You know, sometimes you look at your curriculum and you're like, what are you even teaching these kids? Like you kind of maybe think a little bit outside the box. So it's like a little innovative. So I feel like deep down, just because we all are teaching different subjects doesn't mean we're not all the same and how all the same experiences. Like when we go into a classroom, you know how to speak to kids, even their kids, even their adults in the room, we speak to them the same way in a way, you know what I mean? So it's really just trusting yourself and all the things you do at school that you don't realize, you know, like all the grading and inputting, like you're doing numbers all day with that. Or even how you're going about making a class, you know, you're let's say a 50-minute class, you're breaking it up, you're using time management without you noticing. You're handling 100+ kids and their families. It's almost like you're handling 100+ clients. You know what I mean? You got to talk to the families, communicate. There's so many hidden skills that like we do every day. We're just not used to because we're so tired and we're just getting so burnt out that we don't realize actually how much we're doing and how it relates to the business world. Because I feel, and that's a great, I love that you brought that up because I also think deep down in that interview I had for the job I got, what really put the cherry on top was it was going well. I felt the people were, could be a little tense too. I felt everyone's a little tense. And I kind of like was straightforward. I'm like, look, I get it. My technical skills are not the greatest compared to maybe some other people, but I have life experience. Like I have this experience that I have over a lot of other candidates that I could come in and be a great worker, great coworker. And if I just had to learn a couple additional skills, like I could do that in a week or two, you know, compared to a person who might have the technical skills, but can't work well with people, doesn't know how to talk, doesn't know how to present. Like that's stuff that sometimes you can't even teach that much for some people. That's almost a personality thing at that rate. So I kind of at the end of the day was like, okay, yes, I don't have the technical skills, but man, I'm a teacher. Like I can lead, I can talk, I can work with people. Like I put that forward before even my technical stuff. So really I put more emphasis on my soft skills more than the hard skills. The hard skills were like, hey, if I have to talk about my SQL or Tableau, I'll do it. But it's nothing, it was nothing crazy. My work was super entry level, but I felt that, you know, if they're interviewing me, they must like what they saw on the resume, but now they get to see me as a person. And I think me as a person is going to win over the job. So that was the biggest key, is getting to that second round and being able to try to win them over with me as a, you know, person at the end of the day.
Yeah. And it's kind of what you said before of learning hard skills and stuff. You can do that because you're coachable, you're trainable and stuff like that, but you can't really teach soft skills. That's personality, like you said before. And if you haven't developed as a teacher those soft skills, then you're not going to survive as a teacher anyway. So
you might see it all the time of teachers are yelling at kids all the time, or they're on their phones all day. It's like, okay, they can't, if that's what doing that now, I don't want to work that person. And that's how it is. I know that it's very interesting, the difference of teaching and working, and it's just corporate America. It's a very different feeling. You get a lot of, like I said, you know, as a teacher, a lot of things you're not used to, you know, like being able to go to the bathroom when you want, or be able to have an actual lunch to yourself and not having to worry about, you know, what's coming right after the next class. Like you get some human, like, you know, traits back. What normal humans do, you start to get again. And that's what's interesting too. So I feel like I said, us teachers, we have so many great soft skills. Well, most teachers have great soft skills that can transfer to most industries. It's just, we got to be able to at least show them enough of the, you know, technical skills. It's like, hey, this is what I got right now. But if I make this my full-time job and I could do this 40 hours a week, oh my gosh, I can't imagine how much better I'm going to get. If I could do this in 10 hours a week, watch what I could do in 40 hours when I'm getting paid to do it. Like, watch what I'm going to do next. You know what I mean? So it just comes to that point of like trusting yourself that you want this and, you know, you're motivated and, you know, hopefully the manager is okay with, you know, taking you on as a person, because I feel with these skills, anyone can learn them. Yeah. It's just, do you want to learn it at the end of the day?
You know, Chris, earlier you mentioned how your previous experience in business, you know, it helped you get your current job. I mean, how much do you think those business acumen skills actually do play a role, you know, not only in the interview process, but also how it's going, you know, in the early days of your job right now?
I would say also a ton, just because of this also language and how you speak to, just knowing how businesses run, how meetings work, how anything like that works. And I know the company I worked for was not we had like six locations, nothing too crazy, but I had to go to the corporate office twice a month to go over meetings. I got used to that corporate kind of schedule, you know, meetings, calls, sales calls, stuff like that. So I got used to that a little bit. That kind of helped me when I got into these interviews to know what they were looking for. And I kind of made that I talked actually more about my experience using that job more than teaching actually. I did feel like if I had to talk about anything like specific, I always talk about using that previous job as, you know, talk about revenue, sales, anything business related. I went right to that because I felt that was more, so I'm in more finance. Now I'm in the financial industry. I felt like that fit that way more than talking about teaching. But anytime I needed to talk about like personality, I always talked about teaching.
I've got a question for you. What does your resume look like? How did you build out your resume?
I just made one on Microsoft Word. I just literally typed it up. It's literally probably 3/4 of a page. It's pretty, you know, nothing too crazy. But the one thing that I did, and I kind of thought about, I'm like, you know what? If these people are going to look at my resume for 8-10 seconds, I want to make sure 8-10 seconds are worth it. So I hyperlink any portfolio, all my projects, and I put it right there. So when you click on it, your eyes are looking, you know, like a little bit, you know, a third of the way up, I put them right there. So as soon as it pops up, they could click on all four and they go open them all up and look at it. So I just felt like, and that literally was what was said, the hiring manager was like, hey, thank you for having the project portfolios all set up. I'm like, okay, he did his homework on me already. Like, he already did it. So he already knows what I could do. It's more just seeing if I could fit for the job. And I think once I started doing that, I started seeing a ton more response, at least responses at the end of the day. Maybe not interviews, but at least like some responses from people. So I just like was thinking like, you know, if they're gonna look at it for only a short amount of time, I gotta make their time worth it.
How do you show off the work that you do with the hyperlinks on your resume? Do you upload the work you do to like Tableau Public and or is it just like featured on your LinkedIn? How do you show off the work you do?
It is tough because I wish like I had more examples. It's just that this all happened so fast. Like literally it took only a little over 2 months from when I started Google to when I got the job offer. Like I wanted to do more. I didn't even get to a point of making like a portfolio page or anything, but all my Tableau, all my projects that are involving Tableau are go right to my Tableau public page. Same thing, I had that. But also the one project I put, like I said, a ton of time into, I made a LinkedIn article out of it. So I think doing that as well, being able to explain my steps, explain using my words instead of just posting, here's what this looks like. Being able to show why I'm doing it, was able to show off my storytelling skills, which once again, I'm pretty bad at language arts or anything like that. So I really had to like take my time and like express it through text in that way. But yeah, like I want to do more. I want to make my own page and make it way more, should I say, official, which I'm going to start doing once I get more settled at my job. I want to make it much more clean. But I did LinkedIn articles just because, like I said, I focus a ton on LinkedIn, trying to get my presence as much as I can. And I felt that posting as an article was going to be the best way to get someone to see it. So,
I got you. Let's see here. I had another question lined up. Does anybody, Jeremy, Matt, do you guys have any questions?
I think I'm good. I think I asked all mine.
I think I'm good. I think Matt actually asked the question I had, which is like basically because you're a math teacher, so. What advice would you have for other teachers that are not in the math field, like to help them stand out? Because I've been a social studies teacher for the past, for 4 years now, since fall 2019. Mm-hmm. And before that, I worked with kids with autism, so kids with disabilities. So that's my, and I've also worked in the restaurant business as well, the server. So basically, what kind of advice would you give people that are not necessarily in have business backgrounds or math backgrounds to help them stand out to potential recruiters and jobs?
Okay, that's good. So if I was a social studies teacher, I said, I feel like with my resume, I would tailor anything to sound analytical. Like literally, like kind of like how I did mine was like, I made it like, you know, took care of 110 plus students and families. Took students' standardized test scores, and like anything I put in mind could be related to any other teacher. Like anything I put in mind, any other teacher could do. So I felt like I had to put my day-to-day, let's say, activities I do and actually make it sound analytical, you know, more than what it really is. So, and that's, I feel like, how I did with any other job, like the previous one. Even though I had business experience, half my job was doing lessons, clinics, and camps. The other half was doing administrative work. So in that way too, I had to put more emphasis on like, okay, second in company and sales brought in this much revenue, just really had to use as much numbers and analytics as possible. Even with, you know, like with the standardized test scores, even though I have put in my resume, doesn't mean I'm doing anything crazy on my time, but I still am analyzing their scores. I still am analyzing their grades in the market period. So like I said, even though I'm a math teacher, anything I do is exactly what any other teacher would do as well. So I really think tailoring your day-to-day activities, what you do in school, and just making it sound analytical just is the best advice I'd give. I mean, if I had to say, in my case too, like I said, it could work for any teacher, even PE teacher, same thing. You know what I mean?
Quantify. Quantify the work that you do.
Yeah, sports statistics would be the easiest one for me. I coached for so long too, and then adding grades. So you got the sports side of keeping numbers for sports, and then obviously grades.
I think sports goes a long way. I'm telling you too. Like I don't know if it makes the biggest difference. I'm telling you, like sports also just shows you off as a person. You know what I mean? Like you work with people. You're able to be, like you listen to people. Like you work as a team. Like baseball, I got 40 people on a team. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we all might not like each other the most, but we all have to work together to get to a goal, which is to win the game. So yes, I know it's not like business, but it should show you off too as a person. And I think also too, like if they see something like that, you know, like the person I had too, he's the person, the hiring manager, huge baseball guy. And he saw it on their resume and we just chatted about baseball for like 5-10 minutes at the end, which I felt right away because he was all sitting up all tense. And at the end, he just sat back like this. I mean, okay, now we're just talking. You know, now we're talking about how bad the Yankees are now. You know what I mean? So it felt very, you know, that's also the thing too, is like once you get to that second round, that's when you just gotta be yourself at 10 a day. Like really, we're all teachers. We all can talk well with people. It's just trusting yourself, at least from a technical standpoint. And just being yourself, you know, just how I'm talking to you guys is how I would talk to any hiring manager. You know, because at the end of the day, it's, you know, if it don't work out, then, you know, it just doesn't work out for us. You know, I'm going to be myself. I'm going to talk confidently about what I do. But then also with the resume, like Jeremy, like you said, like with the resume, they do ask like, okay, so you see, like you do this with standard test scores and all that. And I would just talk a little bit. Yeah. So I take their scores. I've looked at the past 5-10 years. I downloaded SQL to you know, try it out just to advance my skills a little bit there. And you kind of can just turn it into like a personal experience a little bit, you know? So just trying to find things you do every day to make it sound more analytical, to just show off your analytical thinking. So yeah.
And you know, Jeremy, for you specifically, considering that you have this experience within the social studies, you might want to consider working with some one of your local governments or something like that. You know, for a hiring manager to think when you're showing off the work that you've done, you could say something like, "Hey, I helped my city launch this, that, or the other event, and it helped improve revenue for the city by $50,000." That and the head of that hiring person, they're like, "Oh wow, this guy, not only is he actively trying to improve doing the work that he's doing, but he's also trying to make an impact and make a difference in his city and change people's lives." And they're just going to keep that in their head. And it's once you get in the hiring manager's head, it's hard to get out of it. So that's a good, you know, that's another suggestion as well.
Absolutely. Actually, on my resume, I have from my previous school, I was at Catholic school, and community service was a big part of the school. So I have on my resume that I helped co-lead a club or lead a club that where we helped fundraise or have food drives, and from the previous year we increased it by 50% from the turnout. So like the kids were, we found different initiatives for the kids to motivate them to bring in cans to tell their parents about it, and that way we can make sure we're helping the community out. So that is on my resume as well.
Nice. It's a great example right there. Talking about, while we're on the topic of, you know, doing project work and doing things that are creating value, Chris, this is a question for you. I know personally there are some projects that I do that I just feel like I just can't show off. But I've been told multiple times over and over again, just show the work that you do, all of it, no matter how bad you think it is. Is that something that you also, a hurdle that you kind of had to jump over, of just getting your work out there, even if you don't think it's good?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. It kind of relates to, like, I said, my journey with LinkedIn, too. It kind of the same of, like, okay, well, if I'm going to make this work, all these projects, I need someone to see it, right? But at the end of the day, if I think it's bad, if I really think it's that bad, well, you know what? I kind of want to know what people think. If other people say it's bad, I'm like, okay, like we're on, you know, I guess we agree. But if some people say it looks great and they like the inside of certain aspects, then it's like, okay, wait, what am I not seeing that they're seeing? So I decide, like, you know what, on my first project, I post on LinkedIn and I said to myself, you know, I'm looking forward to what people have to say at the end of the day. And I'm like, you know, meanwhile, I don't think it's that great, but you know what? I'm proud of, I did this. I took my time. I built this. It might not be the best dashboard. It might not be the most intense data set, but hey, you know what? Like, I'm pretty proud of what I did. And just then, by putting even my first project out there, I met a person on LinkedIn who literally is a Tableau consultant. And he's like, you know what? Like, do you have like 30 minutes? I kind of want to like talk over, you know, your dashboard. I'm like, okay, sounds good. And he was brutally honest. He's like, hey, it's not bad, but I can tell you're beginning. I'm like, look, no offense taken, it's all good. Keep going. Like, what do you have to say? You know, so like, I learned a ton through that. And that just goes hand in hand with like networking, you know, like being able to put yourself out there and just seeing what happens, you know, like, you know, it's just trusting yourself. To, because people also like to see what people do. I like to see what people do, and I'm like, wow, that's a lot better than what I could do. You know, it's great to see. And I'll ask them, hey, how'd you put that in Tableau? Like, I'm really curious. And it just leads to so many great conversations. So it really makes you more, it's like fulfilling too, when you get to see people give feedback, whether good or bad, as long as, you know, constructive, because you know, at the end of the day, we're all in this, it could be a tough journey. And as long as you have people who are there to help you, for the right reasons, goes a long way. So I'd say, especially with anyone who's making projects, I tell them, I don't care how bad you think it is, post that thing. Just post it, put it out there. Cause you might think you might just lack so much confidence that you're not seeing what I'm seeing, but just do it. Like, what is the worst thing that's gonna happen? Like, what is the absolute worst thing? So it's just really getting over that first step of like, if you continue to think that your work is not great or not that good, you're not gonna get anywhere. You have to get over that hump and start trusting yourself a little bit in that process.
Yeah.
It shows that you can take criticism and learn from it as well too.
That's a big part. Some people can't take feedback that well. And yeah. You gotta be careful of that too. You know, you run into people that you say, hey, you know, maybe do that instead, and maybe they don't like it. But that also tells you, okay, well, if they can't take feedback well, they're not set up well. They're not gonna make it in data. They're not. You need to be very adaptive and take in that constructive criticism in a way. Some could be good, some bad, but like, everyone has an opinion. And if you're putting yourself out there, you're putting yourself out there for opinions to be made. So you have to be ready for that. Not everyone's gonna say great things about your work. Not everyone's gonna say, you know, amazing job. Like, they might say something like not bad, but like, hey, maybe work on this. And if you're adaptive and you can learn, that's literally learning, is being adaptive, taking in what others are saying, whether you might agree in the moment or not, just at least respect them and, you know, see what they have to say. But you have to be open to that. If you're putting your work out there, you have to be ready for anyone's opinion to be made.
You know, I noticed that your job opportunity is remote. Is that something that was you already knew going into it, or you kind of had to fight for it? Or, and also, does working remote like affect your networking abilities or like anything like that?
Mm-hmm. So I'm in a unique, like, I want a unique situation. So I'm in New Jersey. My lease ends in March. My goal was to get a remote job because my fiance and I, we're still an open book. Like, we kind of are very open to going anywhere right now. Or, you know, and my goal was always to have a remote job. I think just being a teacher, having to commute into Philadelphia, which is a crazy drive, paying tolls, parking, and it's just commuting has really taken a ton out on me. It really has. Also, financially, the amount of money I've spent commuting too, I'm saving a few thousand bucks a year just because of not paying tolls and gas. So I'm like, okay, I have this room set up. I have this room in my apartment set up. Like, I want to work from home. Like, I just feel like I want to be home more. I've definitely been feeling this past, especially past 2 months, just so exhausted of just, by the time I get out of school, it's like, oh, I have to drive an hour home because there's traffic everywhere. And I hate that part. I hate saying the word hate, but I don't like it. It's not fun. And I was really looking for a remote, but of course everyone and their mother wants a remote job. Like, everyone wants to work from home mainly. So it didn't make it hard in the process, I'm not going to lie, but Yeah, I didn't have to fight for that. It was a remote job. The company is super flexible. They're like, hey, as long as you're working anywhere in the continental United States, like, you're good to go. And I'm like, okay. So, I mean, that helped me a lot. Like, when I move, I can, my options are way more than I thought it used to be, because I was going to move, because I was going to move to a little more down south, because teaching salaries over here in New Jersey, it's you can't live that well, let's just say. So I was looking to move to certain areas because of teaching, but now I'm not teaching anymore. I mean, my opportunities are just, you know, the whole world can do whatever I want right now in a way. So it does feel good to have that ability to work remotely, just because in case, like, you know, it just, like I said, opens way more opportunities for me and to actually enjoy my work again. I did want to work remotely. I was open to hybrid, but just because, literally, like I said, I was moving in a few months, I could not really take a hybrid job because I didn't know what I was going to do in 3 months. So that did make it hard of trying to have a much limited job search, I would say. But yes, I got a little lucky with the remote. I'm not going to lie. I got a little, for an entry level analyst role being remote, I feel like I got a little bit lucky with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not the norm, but it would be nice if it became the norm, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're rapidly approaching the 1 hour mark here, but Matt and Jeremy, I wanted to know if you had any other questions before we get ready to close out the episode.
Nothing important. The other thing that,
what do you mean nothing important? Go, no, ask
the other thing that teachers don't have the luxury of doing is negotiating salary. So did you have to go about that? Mm-hmm. I'm not asking your salary, just the
negotiation. No, it's fine. Yeah, that was definitely
assigned a salary as a teacher.
Yeah, that was definitely, you know, I'm not afraid to talk. Like, you know, when I talk to these recruiters or managers, I'm not afraid to talk money, but I'm also not used to it. Like, I'm not used to saying, like, what the numbers are telling me. I'm like, okay, yeah, sounds good. And I go home and my fiance's like, well, she is literally in social media marketing. She's like, no, you don't say yes right away. You got to negotiate. I'm like, what do you mean? It's a really good offer. Like, I don't want to do. So it definitely felt weird. She's like, no, you have to do this and this. I'm like, okay, we'll see how it goes. And yeah, it's just like, you know, like I said, if they're already decided they want to give you the job, like, I think deep down too, like, they put so much effort into you. Like, as long as you're not like asking something astronomically way off, like, there's going to be leeway there. There will be. And I felt like me going into a larger company, I felt there was going to be a little more leeway there. So what I did a little differently, not sure, like, you know, the right way to negotiate, but I put more of a range in there and I didn't kind of say a set number. I'm like, hey, I want something in this range, which I was totally fine on the lower end, but I wanted to let them know, like, hey, I think it's some more here. And then once they, you know, they called me the next morning, like, yeah, we'll do it. And I'm like, okay. So it was definitely different, but like I said, I just said, that's the norm negotiating. Like, you know, they're going to give you an offer. And if, you know, they want you to take it, right? They give you to you. It helps them. But like at the same time, if I didn't ask, it was like probably 13% more than what they gave me. Like I said, I'm looking for more. I focus more large companies. I want to learn a lot more. I want to be a much more structured approach. So I kind of took a more like larger company approach with this. But yeah, with the negotiating, it's the same thing. It kind of goes to the confidence. Like, if you trust yourself and you know your worth, you're going to say that number and you're going to be like, hey, this is what it is. Like, this is what I think it should be.
Yeah.
And from there, you know, confidently went in there and you said the number you want, right? I did my research. I kind of saw what other positions were getting paid. But I'm like, you know what? If I get this amount, I'm, especially from what I'm getting paid right now as a teacher to analyst, I'm totally okay. So like I said, just come down to the confidence aspect for sure.
I got you.
And my last question would be, as a teacher, we have very limited time off. If like actually taking time off is more work for us than being there at times. So how about scheduling interviews? Did you feel like that was difficult for you to schedule interviews with different companies?
Super difficult. Super difficult. Yeah. I mean, I know your case, you said you were getting off at 4:20, which I wouldn't be able to do my interviews. I would not, because that's, you know, a lot of companies, you know, that I interviewed were East Coast. So it's like, that would not work really. So my scheduled time is I end at 3:30. but I don't get back to my room until about 3:15, 3:20. So I only had about 10 minutes before I started any interview. So I had to tell people, hey, it's at 3:30. And that's the only time, 3:30, 4 o'clock, that's it. I was very lucky that they were accommodating to it. But I did feel it was a little tough because I had to teach the entire day after maybe only eating a sandwich and a couple snacks, going to the bathroom only once. And I'm like, I'm sitting down and I'm like, but in a way, I was like, you know what? I'm ready to go. No overthinking. I just sat down and did it. And I feel like that actually kind of did help. I had my notes ready to go. I did in the morning. So as soon as I sat down at 3:20, I looked him over, had my questions ready, 3:25, boom, let's start it. So it kind of like, actually, I did not mind that part of kind of jumping into it, so I didn't have to overthink. But yeah, scheduling interviews was extremely tough. Because I know teaching, I only get 5 paid days off. So literally, and if you don't do it 3 weeks in advance, you're not getting it. So yes, it did make it extremely difficult, but you make a way. And like I said, if it's the right company, they're going to accommodate your time. And that's what I like about my place I'm at now. They valued my time. They valued me as a teacher, and they worked around my schedule. So I feel like that's also important too.
Perfect. So Chris, I have to ask you, if you had to wrap this episode up in a nice little neat bow, what would you say? How did you get your analytics job?
So I would say number one key, I feel like in my case, I try to tell anybody now, is the power of LinkedIn. Like seriously, networking, connecting, you got to do something different. You got to stand out more than, and I think a lot of people in our case can do similar work, but why should they pick you over the thousands of other people doing the same kind of work? I feel like networking, meeting the right people, being a genuine person, people will go to bat for you. People are going to put your name in the hat for you. And it might not happen tomorrow. It might not happen for a month. It might not happen for a few months. You don't know. But you keep working on, you know, being active on LinkedIn, whether it be creating content, posting your work, engaging with people, entering groups, going to, you know, meetups, anything that's like that, it goes a long way towards the success. You know, I really think, like I said, the technical stuff's important, but also being a genuine person and wanting to put in that extra work, especially on something like LinkedIn, will really help you get into those entry-level roles.
Perfect. Well, so thank you so much for joining us. If people want to reach out to you, I guess you said LinkedIn. I guess the best way to reach out to you would be on LinkedIn.
Yeah, definitely LinkedIn. Like I try, you know, like I said, I know teaching's a little tough time-wise, but I encourage anyone to, connect with me on LinkedIn, reach out to me, any kind of questions. I'm, pretty open book with that aspect.
Perfect. Well, once again, thank you, Chris, Matt, and Jeremy, all for coming on. I think we had a great discussion today. And for any teachers watching, hopefully you guys got a lot from this, because this was pretty much your guys' episode.
No, I appreciate it so much. It was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thanks again. And we'll see you, everybody listening. Take care, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.